Understanding the Now. Yes, that's what it's going to be about. And this is an interesting subject for me because it deals with time. And I happen to be a time kind of aficionado and also maybe a little bit fanatical about really understanding what time it is and trying to explain it to people. I can tell you in today's show, we will be covering some of what time is, but of course, we would need several shows to really deal with time completely or even incompletely. Time is not that easy to understand, but it is fascinating because it is like, it's sort of like the glue that holds everything together in the universe, and it explains so much, but at the same time, it can confuse the heck out of most people unless they have a lot of time or apply themselves to understanding, or if they can think in a now, which is what we're going to really be covering today, the now. Now, today's show, of course, is about metaphysics and spirituality, which is what Why Life is all about. And if you are interested in participating, calling in, you can do so. Yes, you can call 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S. And if you are over in the Canadian side of things, give us a call at 888-815-9756. And if not those, then you can also email me at thoughts@whylifeis.com. Yeah, thoughts@whylifeis.com. And I'll try to get your email as quickly as possible, maybe during the show. But if not, I will certainly address it at another time, in another show. But in any case, those are the ways that you can get a hold of me. And you can also, if you care to, you can even reach me in off times, because I'm available. Yeah, if you're reading one of the books I wrote or if you're reading someone else's, that's fine, hey. And give me a call. I would be glad to discuss anything dealing with metaphysics, physics itself also, by the way, or anything dealing with the general field of spirituality. Now, let's talk about what a now generally is. I like to define things, you know. And some of you may have read books. A guy named Eckhart Tolle has written a book on the now and other people. But, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, and you've probably heard me say this before, that whatever I explain are my thoughts and ideas, you know, coming from what I think, and they may not coincide with what you've read about or what you've thought about yourself, which is fine. We can disagree. This is a show to help everybody to think, including myself. And I know that some people, there was a movie I saw that kind of prompted me to do today's show. I think it's called The Peaceful Warrior. This is sort of like Nick Nolte's, I think, confessional or something. he did that movie with another younger actor. I don't know his name right now. But at any rate, the movie just came out on DVD. I saw the movie, and it was very interesting because some of it was fairly accurate, which in Hollywood isn't say much. But some of it was a little bit off. Now, one of the things that was a little bit off, which prompted me to do today's show, was in their explanation of a now. And it doesn't necessarily vary that much from what some famous writers recently have written about a now, but it does vary from what I think, in a more complete sense, what a now is. So, what is this movie saying a now is? A now, according to the movie, generally speaking, was living in the moment. Living in the moment. And in actuality, I don't think that a now, that explains a now even accurately, much less completely. And so I'm going to try to explain to you, have I built this up now? Yeah, I'm going to try to explain to you what I think a now is. And then I'm going to explain how it is developed and where it really comes from and what we can do with it. Because doing something with it is probably even more important than understanding what the heck it is that it is. All right, so first, a now is the ability to join all three parts, as we call them, of time together in a single point, a single place, not a moment so much, but it's the ability to join the past, the present, and the future about what is going on in the world that we are sensing, through the completion of our senses in every aspect, and that means more than just the physical senses that we have. But we are able to take in all that we sense, and we are able to apply those senses to the past, the present, and the future as it applies in omniscience, meaning all knowledge, about those senses as it applies to our being of service to those elements of what we're sensing in every respect we possibly can. Okay. That sounds rather convoluted, but it's the truth, in my opinion. Now, how is that different from living in the moment? Well, I think it's self-explanatory, because the two don't even, to my mind, in a definitive sense, mean the same thing. Living in the moment would be like, oh, gee, I'm really here, I'm really there, I'm really anywhere. Even if you're living in the moment for service to someone or something, it's still, which was implied, by the way, in the movie that I referred to, the Peaceful Warrior. But it doesn't really deal with the aspect of this omniscient state of really understanding and having an intelligent understanding and the ability to do something with the understanding, in other words, from the past, the present, and the future. That's great wisdom, and it requires something much more than just being there and maybe trying to do something with it that may be of value or service to others. Okay, so now, looking at it from my perspective, then how does one acquire the ability to do something so amazing as to be able to serve others in the past, present, and future of all that is one is sensing? And it actually goes a little bit further than that, because in the now it also has to do with our creations. So what we serve others and to or with is our creations. So it's very important to understand that this is a huge thing to be able to do in literally, are you ready for this one? This is a big deal, because this is where we get into time. In no time at all, at least eventually. In shorter and shorter or lesser amounts of using uptime to achieve what I said. Because if you think about what I said, if you don't include the concept of time, I guess one could say, well, if you could extend the moment for several years or maybe several lifetimes, I could do what you said, or someone could do what you said. But if you have to do it in a few seconds or less, maybe no time at all, then that seems impossible. You see, time becomes a critical element. But I'm going to also tell you something that's very interesting. The shorter the time that one does it in, the better that they achieve the results of creating intelligent service to whatever it is they're trying to serve. The shorter the time, the more creative they are, and the more they can be wise in their creation from past, present, and future all at the same time. Whoa. How is that possible? It seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? Well, interestingly, that word is the key to the whole thing. Intuition. Yeah, not intuition like, oh boy, I got a hunch. No, intuition is actually a state that is a little bit beyond what most people can control and think in at the same time. But some people have uncontrolled elements of it once in a blue moon. But for the most part, to try and walk around and be intuitive, thinking intuition seems almost impossible for most human beings. And the reason for it is this. Intuition is bringing together these three parts of time and connecting us to the knowledge and the wisdom of all others that can think around our level of thought. And so one becomes omniscient to that level of thinking by being able to think in unison, in unity with others who have thought or are thinking similarly. Sort of like getting a whole bunch of other great minds to help us to think with our mind, and we're doing the same thing while we're in this state for their minds. It's sort of like sharing great minds. But and it does something else for us, too. Intuition not only does that, but it speeds up the mind tremendously because time is not used. We don't use any time to think. Time is not used to think. Remember I said that you're moving closer and closer, using less and less time, as you move closer and closer to really living in this now, until eventually things don't take any time at all. So every moment, quote unquote, living in the moment, but every moment of the now is in actuality a point in which no time is being used to creatively serve anyone or anything. And to be able to do this is something that obviously seems superhuman. All right. What is time? Well, it's time to go into the time business, because I'm using the word very liberally here, but I like to define things. And if you like them defined, you're going to get it right now. Time measures the quality of how much things are separated from the creator of our universe's mind and how much they are not. The more that there is a separation in the mind of the creator, meaning that you're not being virtuous, you're not creating things that are enlightening, you're creating things that are dark, the more there is space between the very elements, the three elements of our creator's mind. And if you've heard other shows, you know what those elements are. I can tell you later about them, but for right now, I think I'll hold it back. But these three elements are actually being separated when there is selfishness, when there is a focus away from serving others, and rather about serving ourselves, if you could call it that, or just being into being ourselves. And when that happens, time starts to be used up. It doesn't take any time at all if one is creating, co-creating within the mind of the Creator. It doesn't mean that our thoughts are the Creator's thoughts, just the opposite. It means that we're uniquely creating additional thought to the Creator of the universe. Yeah, you might say, well, how can you create more than God creates? Well, that's the interesting thing. God separates his mind so that we can do exactly that thing. We can add something into the process. We, life, and especially human life and beyond, is the growth of God. That's the point of the whole thing. And when we choose to function as a co-creator with our creator, we start joining space together, which is kind of dark and it separates everything, into light. Which means nothing gets separated and things get put together. And a guy named Albert Einstein, you've heard of him, discovered that when something is moving, quote unquote, at the speed of light, you know what happens to time? Nada, zilch, gone, no more time. Time ceases to exist. There is no time. Time stops is the best way to put it, as Albert probably would have said. Time stops then you reach the speed of light. Yes. Okay. But it doesn't just stop as we understand it. It unifies the parts of this creator's mind. So you notice I'm joining physics and metaphysics? Yeah. It unifies the creator's mind and puts it into a, we'll call it a metaphysical understanding rather than just a physics understanding. Because without understanding this whole business of there being a creator of the universe, then none of it makes any sense. And you really can't complete the physics that Einstein really worked on. And he, by the way, was looking for the answers, so I'm telling you. Because he was looking for proof of there being a creator. He wasn't doing the opposite, most people think. Physicists aren't interested in that, but he was. Okay, so that's an aside. I just thought I'd throw that in there. But I think the important part of all this is that time stops. It really does stop, and it doesn't stop in metaphysics. It stops in physics. when one is enlightened and reaches the speed of light in one's thought. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's going to be a little bit confusing. Yes, it's a, you know me, I got to throw something in there that's going to probably puzzle you. Why not? But we're going to go to break, and I like to always do that. Okay, we got about another minute and a half, 2 minutes to go to break. Okay, here, this is an interesting thought. Time itself moves at different rates depending upon the dimension that one's consciousness exists within. Yeah, and this is the slowest rate of consciousness development that someone can be in. The lowest amount of consciousness that most people exist within is right where we are right now, called the etheric physical part of our universe. So guess what happens? Time goes by, speeding along, being wasted enormously, why people are very selfish in this part of the universe, and it seems as though it takes an incredible amount of time to even think or do anything. I mean, like, forever, almost. That's the amazing part about it. It takes literally that much time to achieve almost any kind of result here. But if you can raise your consciousness to exist in additional higher, I call it higher, many people do, dimensions of time and space, then time changes. You get more time to do anything because you don't waste time, you don't use up time because your mind is going much faster because your consciousness is much higher and your intelligent creations are much greater. Something to definitely think about. And while you are thinking about that, you can also, if you choose, listen to some commercials, which I hope will not lower your consciousness. And at the same time, if you want to give me a call, you still can do that when we come back from break, as well as listen and hear more about how to live in the now, how to create a now, which is really interesting. I'm going to go through it step by step. And what it really feels like, what it really means to be in this. Because right now it's been very abstract. I always do that when I start abstract. But it's going to be more practical when I come back, for sure. And that'll be in about 2.5.
Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. ViroPel is a dietary supplement. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Colds and flu are a problem that many want answers and alternatives for. Let me tell you about ViroPel, a certified all-organic herbal and nutraceutical formula designed to support relief from symptoms of cold and flu. With so much concern about potential bird flu outbreaks, there may be some help. ViroPel's patents include proven immune enhancement, adding significant preventative and other immune system benefits. In effectiveness trials, most experienced relief from symptoms in 2 to 3 days. Think about how long your last flu symptoms lasted. Incredible and amazing are the words most often used to describe the effects of ViroPel. Using 136 of the highest grade ingredients in a new science gives ViroPel its effectiveness. Relief could be just 1 to 3 days away. To learn more or to purchase ViroPel, call Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. That's 800-777-7850. Or visit ViroPel, that's ViroPel.org.
Well, we're back, and This is Niles McFlower for Why Life Is. And today we're talking about understanding the now. Yeah. And I hope that you heard the first part, because I'm not going to repeat it, but I will just generally continue on. And so here is some interesting points. Since time is basically a measure of how much thought is either joining together the mind of our Creator through its participation, co-participation, in creating more light in the universe. And it's a measure of that. It is a qualitative measure. It has a quality. That's the best way to understand it. A quality of time in space. That's incredible, because that's what time does. It measures the amount that space is actually increasing, or how much light is being increased. And when light is increased, space becomes less. Well, I just want to throw this out for those of you who are somewhat into physics, because I think it's very interesting to ponder these points, that our universe, as we understand it, as we look out, is just the physical, the etheric physical part of a multidimensional universe that has six more dimensions, big dimensions to it, that some of them are even chopped up, and we think there's more to them than that. But we are existing at the basement. Okay, in the basement of the universe, things are least developed, and the least amount of our Creator's thought is represented. So what would you expect? Well, what we would expect is great space that would keep getting greater and greater as the beings that are co-creating with God within it are selfish and not co-creating most of the time. Well, I can tell you the universe as it is right now is in that state. That means that at an increasing rate, the amount of space is actually multiplying. Things are going faster and faster at being pulled apart from each other. Now, you might say, but they just discovered that about 7 or 8 years ago, didn't they, or 9 years ago? Yes, they did, but I wrote about it a long time before that, honestly, and I was teaching about it. Now, the point is that I think the issue here is it explains a phenomenon that we really don't understand right now. They have to invent all kinds of goofy things to try to explain it. But it's much simpler to understand it when you understand metaphysics. Okay, now what's happening to time then? Well, it's taking longer time. Really, even to go to our nearby galaxy is taking longer and longer to do, if you think about it, because everything is getting further apart, more separated, at a greater and greater rate, at the present time. Do not believe this is going to continue. No. What eventually happens is that the space becomes light, which is what it was at the very beginning. And if you think about it, if you think about what the Big Bang was, there was no space between anything, and everything was some kind of super, super light. Also, in physics terms, an incredible state of energy existed. But even that energy wasn't real energy. It was something other than that, because energy cannot be explained. Nothing can be explained at the moment the Big Bang took place. Okay, so the point is that all this is very interesting, because what I'm explaining to you supports the present understandings in physics. And it did so long before those understandings were even thought about. As a matter of fact, if you go back 20 years ago, when I was starting to teach some of this stuff, what I was teaching was considered incredible heresy against something called the standard model, which is completely goofy. It doesn't really fit today, and it still is being used because they want it to fit, so they invent things to make it fit. But there's some things wrong with it. There's things that are very right with it, too, but there's some things wrong with it. Okay, so time is a quality. It's a measure of how the space in our, at least, negative width, which we call the etheric physical dimension, is being, unfortunately, we could call it abused by too many sentient beings, us and others, in many, many millions, billions, trillions of worlds that are not at the present time joining enough of time and space to co-create with our Creator. We certainly aren't doing our job in this world, and we're kind of retarded, honestly. we are not even close to being the more advanced civilizations around. And so we're really kind of causing all this havoc. We are, right here on Earth. Now, I don't want us to be the bad guys. I mean, someone's got to do the job we're doing, which is to take on some really difficult problems on a worldwide scale as souls and see if we can overcome it, including evil. Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like we came here as, you know, okay, we're going to be on the front lines dealing with certain kinds of really terrible things. Not everybody stays and not everybody comes to this place. It's a mess. But those who do, us, are here waddling in, wasting time, an awful lot of wasting time, because we're making huge amounts of what we call mistakes, which are really selfishness, self-focus, and that is causing all kinds of problems. Some of that self-focus, by the way, is egotism and arrogance. I bet you know a lot of people who are doing that. I bet all of us are doing some of that, right? Egotism and arrogance. Another part of it is, are you ready for this? Just instead of being giving and loving, we're just into our feelings being the most important thing to how we exist. Not about loving others, but instead our feelings are about us. I call that being emotional rather than being loving in an astral sense. And then what else do we do wrong? Well, we don't cooperate and share. There's literally, virtually no intelligent coordination, so we don't try to work with others so that they don't have to spend as much time and energy doing whatever they're doing. Because we're focused on what we're doing. And who cares about those others that are doing something else? And even if they're doing the same thing, we don't care about what they're doing either. So you see, these things really get in the way. Those things, by the way, are called virtues, or the things that produce virtues. Yeah. And so the interesting part of all this is that we are actually functioning in a non-virtuous way, generally speaking. But that's the secret for how to create a now. Because if we were to reverse some of these things right here in this world, you see, then we would be creating more of a now for ourselves that would be reversing the problems that presently exist in this corner of the universe. We would be making the universe a little bit better place, and we'd certainly be making Earth a lot better place. So this is no small thing we're talking about. We're talking about having an impact, not on the world. Everybody says, well, I want to have an impact on the world. That would be amazing. Yeah. What about having an impact on the entire universe? And one of the seven dimensions of it, the one that's hardest to change? This is a great opportunity, if you think about it. So I'm going to tell you what we can do to try to live in a now. But it isn't the easiest thing, as you might anticipate. The first thing is to be really honest with ourselves about our own level of selfishness. So I'm not trying to make you feel bad. No. I'm trying to make you feel better, because if you're selfish, your life is meaningless and miserable. That's what selfishness produces. So I'd say, hey, I got a better idea. How would you like a meaningful life that is joyful? Sound like a plan? It might take a few years before you start experiencing it. That's the problem. There's a gap between attempting to do it and actually achieving it. Part of it has to do with karma. Your karma gets accelerated, and more difficulties seem to crop up. Life becomes very strenuous. You have to do all kinds of things to overcome some of the things you've done before. But it also, your life becomes more creative, more interactive, certainly a little frenetic, but it, in the very least, quite meaningful. In the very least. Almost immediately. But there's still a lot of pressures. There's a lot of, ooh, ouch, bang, wow. Because things come up that sometimes, even though we try, we're still a little selfish with, and we don't understand, we're not conscious enough of how to make the changes necessary quickly enough so that something doesn't go ouch. The ouch is almost always the effect of time being wasted and space being separated and a sense of loneliness and dejection and failure. Those are the things that we face during the first few years of attempting to get into this state of living in the now. So this is not like I'm not giving you something with the silver spoon saying, oh, it's so easy, anybody can do it, all you have to do is for $19.95 buy this and for $21 and I'll send you two if you just pay shipping and handling. No, there are no easy, simple ways to achieve this, but the benefits are tremendous, but you have to be willing to go through, oh, at least a year, and probably 2-3 or so years, where there's less and less, but there's still some sense of failure and some sense of loneliness and a sense of maybe kicking yourself once in a while. But it's just a part of the human nature, unfortunately, that we do this to ourselves. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't, but it's very difficult not to do it that way. All right. That being said, then what is it that we need to do? The first is to look at ourselves and to determine the areas in which we are being self-focused. Now, those areas have ways of telling us. There are things about them that I'm going to tell you right now that are clues. The first is the desire to be in control. Not in control of yourself, the desire to be in control of others. You want others to think a certain way, to act a certain way, to say a certain thing, to be a certain thing, to give you this, to do that, blah, 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 on and on. Whenever you're in that vein, whenever you're thinking that way, you're making a mistake. I do it. I know everybody else I know does it. But I'm telling you, that's a clue. That's a big clue that, mistakes are being made, time's being wasted. Not co-creative with God, and keeping myself away from the now. You can't be in the now if you're trying to control anyone or anything outside of who you are. Uh-oh. How many of you say, oh boy, this is going to be harder than I thought. I didn't know he was going to pull that trick out right away. Why didn't he start with something easy? Well, actually, this is the easy part. Okay. Because it gets a little harder. What's the next step? The next clue is that how much are you taking responsibility for everyone and everything else? Not just yourself. You have to take responsibility for yourself to begin with, or you can't get out of the control problem. But then you have to take responsibility for everyone and everything else without controlling them and without trying to control them. Holy cow, someone. Who came up with this thing? Well, if you were listening to my programs, you know that people like Buddha and many, many other people did come up with these ideas, really. They've been around before there was recorded time, these ideas have been around. But unfortunately, most people don't connect to them because they don't understand why they work or anything like that. I'm trying to tell you. Okay, so, take responsibility for others, including things. I mean, be responsible for not smashing something, breaking something. Be responsible for everything. It all connects together. All things are connected. That's how amazing it is. That's the next step. What's the next step? There's more? Yeah, there's more. There's always more, I know. Okay, the next step is to see the connections from doing the first two steps. The more connections you can see, the more your consciousness is expanding. So the more ways that you can see that by not controlling and by taking responsibility, you are connected to all other things, which eventually connects you to what? To God. That allows you to take the fourth step, which is to be a co-creator. A co-creator with God. Otherwise, you can create, but you won't know what you're creating is really part of the creator. So you have to do these things, you see. Now, I'm going to tell you, this takes a little bit of time. It is not easy to do. It takes great contemplation and reflection. You got to meditate. You got to read. But more importantly, you have to have the honest and sincere desire, complete motive to serve others. And when I say serve, I mean give whatever, in whatever way necessary, to help others to do the same. That's what I'm talking about. See, I got my own words for service, too. I know, whole vocabulary. If you get the textbook I wrote called Life's Hidden Meaning, in the back of it's a glossary. I just define everything. I figure, what the heck? If I'm going to do this, I'm going to just define it all, because I do have my own definition, sort of. I mean, they do fit mostly what is traditionally called ageless wisdom, and as it has been used for eons before there was even recorded history. But nonetheless, some of those definitions weren't really defined by others in some cases. So, here we go. Okay, we got this whole thing. I've given you four kind of steps in how to do this to get into the now. Oh, okay. Now, what is, like, being in the now feel like being? I mean, what is it? Is that some kind of, like, woo, woo? Well, it's sort of something like that, but you know what? We're about to go to break, and yeah, it's another one of those McFlower kind of cliffhangers. Yep, that's what I'm doing. So when we come back, I'm going to try to describe in a more, we'll say, experiential sense, what the now is like, how one maintains it, because you can be in the now for a very short period of time without really being in control of what's going on in the now. But if you really want to create very much, and that's what I mean by control, create, that then it's going to be something that's going to be a totally different experience, really, than what anybody, well, not anybody, but what most people would call even being in the now in the first place. And you'll get all that, honestly, when we come back from break in about 2.5 minutes.
What book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hon, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower, M-A-C-F-L-O-U-E-R.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Let me tell you about most supplements that help support joint health, movement, and ease. They usually contain a few helpful substances that work on some people moderately well. For many others, these levels of help are either not enough or are not helpful at all. But there is a product that contains 36 different high-potency and very effective ingredients that support overall joint health, movement, and ease when moving. It's freedom of movement by alternative health approaches, and it works in many different ways. This formula is critically balanced to synergistically and dramatically improve joint movement through supportive health, and usually within several hours. The relief generally lasts for an entire day and over time can be permanent. Freedom of movement comes with a money-back guarantee. Even shipping is refunded for the first bottle. This unique formulation has helped thousands to maintain joint health. The price is $24.95 for a 90-caplet bottle. It's available from Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. Give this powerful all-natural supplement a try if you haven't found relief from other sources. That's Freedom of Movement. Call 800-777-7850.
Okay, we are back, and yes, this is Niles McFlower for Why Life Is. Also, we had a caller who called, I guess, at the end of the last segment. And if she wants, she can call back. I'm sorry, but, you know, we couldn't put you on during the break because we had these commercials with Give. But if you want to call back, go ahead and do so because I'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, so what does all this mean? How does one actually experience being in what is described as, quote-unquote, a now as I'm defining it? Now, this is a timeless state. Remember, a state of timelessness in which one can create, co-create, actually, at a level of being connected to one's own creator and also create being connected with all the other people, beings, actually, who are doing something similar in their own right, which means throughout the entire universe, not just here on Earth or any place. I mean, this could get you connected to who knows where. And so the important thing here is if this can really be done, then what is one experiencing while one is having this co-creation taking place? Well, the first thing that takes place is, and this is very important to understand, one is selfless in the lower sense of self, but one is not, does not disappear, which some people think they do, and one is not without self. One becomes one's higher self, which is part of our soul. You become something that is much greater than being a human. It's where we're all headed back to and where we came from. It's the state of being a being that always knows that it is part of its own creator and does not make the illusions and mistakes that we do while we're here. We came from that being, and we came here to create more of what that being wants to create here, but we're independent from it unless we choose to co-create with it, just as we choose to co-create with God. So the first step in co-creating with God joins us with our own soul. Wow, that's a thing called the higher self, sort of like the alter ego self of that soul. And in an amazing way, when someone is in that state of being in the higher self has certain qualities, we'll call it, that are somewhat unique compared to at least humans, in that the higher self is able to immediately identify the most creative way to achieve the highest result within its own abilities of sense and thought. So it can automatically do that. You might say, well, how does it automatically do that? Well, what it does is it has joined its senses together to a state in which the unity or yoga of its senses allows it to have high ability, and the ability matches its ability to think. And so that's the definition, by the way, of a soul. The soul has these great abilities, greater than our own, because they're unified to some extent, and those abilities approximately equal its own ability to think. And literally, if you go to chapter, I think it's chapter 6 in Licit Meaning, the first page of that chapter defines a soul as having that quality. So you can see how that works now. If the two are kind of equal, then while we are in the now, and while we are actually experiencing our senses, which are unified now, so we don't really experience, well, first I smell, and then I taste, and then I touch, and then I see, and then I hear. No, you do that all at the same time, and you're aware of all the senses at the same time. Human beings generally are not capable of doing that unless they have created this union in their senses in actually three bodies, the physical, the astral, and the mental. And if they do that, then they can start experiencing, this is an amazing result, that there's a unity in sense, but the other quality, remember, is a balance to that unity, whatever that level of unity is that we've created for ourselves. There is also an equal amount of thought that can process the information coming in from the senses. So the information isn't sitting in the sense or some people call it the chakra or center, because that's the electromagnetic part in the physical body. And it's also a comparable chakras that exist in the astral and mental bodies that actually produce these senses, but we think they come from organs and stuff, I know. But the point is that we actually can then process in real time, in actual time, everything that we're sensing, taking all that information and converting it into constructive thought, intelligent thought, that serves others. It's all at the same time. There is no time between the information, the thought, and the creation. Because what the creation is, after you think, then you have to apply it. And it becomes applied intelligent knowledge. And you apply it wisely, and you give it to others. And this is all happening at one time. That's not living in the moment. That's so far from living in the moment, it's like a completely different thing, right? You might say, whoa, that is so far out there. That is like way, way, way out there. That's like amazingly out there. Yes, it is. But can it be done? Yes, absolutely, positively. I guarantee, promise, it can be done. There have been great ones for ages who've been doing this. And you, we can do this. But we need to be following certain steps to achieve these results. And the amazing thing about this is that once there is a, we'll call it a connection between the thought part and the information part, you really connect it together, then you have control over what your creations are going to be. And that's called controlled intuitive thought. That is controlled intuitive thought. That's another name for it. And it's what puts you in the state of being in the now. It's called effortlessness. No effort is applied in either the thinking part or the sensing part, because no energy is left in any center that is being used as long as you're in the state of effortless service, of spiritually being in the now. And this is an amazing part of it, is that there's no energy being there. Therefore, if no energy is stuck, then it's moving at the speed of light, and we start to enlighten our senses. So the movement between the centers and between our thought reaches the speed of light. Our thought is enlightened, our centers are enlightened, and no energy gets stuck in them, so the centers aren't damaged or used up. There's no aging that takes place in the bodies. There's no reduction in sense in the bodies. As a matter of fact, the sense actually grows and becomes more effective, more accurate in the information that it supplies. Incredible things take place by maintaining ourselves in a state of the now. And by creating ourselves into this state, we can do the most incredible things. Some of the most amazing creations made by people that I consider to be spiritually endowed, they may not have even considered themselves so, have come from this sort of thinking. Because the very greatest creations have come from people in this state of mind. The greatest service to humanity, the things that have made this world so much better because people have done something that's really extraordinary. It has come from being in a controlled state of being in the now. Now, does it happen that some people occasionally create some great things by being in an uncontrolled state? It may only last for a few seconds. Yeah, that definitely does happen. But the really, really great stuff takes a lot more than a few seconds in terms of being able to be in this state. Now, I say a few seconds. In reality, there is no time in the now. Not to the person experiencing it. But it may take a whole bunch of time to take what a person creates and then let other people know about it and help them to co-serve with them. That's part of the patience that's in the system. And it means that you can't try to control others to get that achievement, because if you do, you lose the ability to be in the now, and then you can't create these great things in the first place. Wow, you see the catch-22 here? This is a tough one to achieve for human beings. Because when human beings create at these levels, they generally do start wanting others to, you know, do something with it. and those others might ignore it. They might say, well, that's very avant-garde, but I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm not going to read about it. I'm not going to think about it. I don't know. I'm going to turn this guy off. Who knows? How many people may have done that in the last 5 minutes? You see, the problem is that you have to have this state of being completely open to the fact, detached from the results. Because if you are connected to the results, then what happens is you lose the ability to be in the now. And you're back to square one. You have to say, okay, well, I'm going to create this, and guess what? Nothing's going to happen with it, possibly. That's life. All right. And that happens more often than you might want to believe. So this is one of the concerns that you have to be able to deal with if you want to be able to be into this sort of development of thought and creation, that some things that you will create just may not go any further than that for the meantime. But you have to understand that eventually they will. Somewhere down the line. It might be 100 years from now, 1,000 years. Somewhere down the line, it will. Because anything that's created in light lasts forever. Forever. It never goes away. Things that are created against light that separate space and use up time always self-destruct at some point in the future. Always. Even if you get some immediate satisfactory results. Yeah, I got everybody to do exactly what I wanted because I forced them, I shot them, I did this, I did that. Yeah, you can do that. But whatever you create will vanish, including the evil or dark parts of yourself. So only light can maintain itself indefinitely. Only light is immortal. And only the things that are created in light are immortal. It's really fascinating. Listen, I hope I'm not giving you too much to think about here. But at any rate, so that's all part of being in the now. Detachment. You have to be detached. Because if you're not, ultimately you won't be in the now. Even though you know everything and do everything else that I suggested. Okay. Well, I guess that's going to have to be enough for the immediate moment because we are kind of running out of time here. I've only got a few more minutes left. So what I want to do is just let you know that if you happen to be in the Phoenix metropolitan area, come and visit me. I'm going to be talking over, Borders Books and Music over in Mesa Fiesta. That's across from Fiesta Mall, for those of you who are familiar with this area. And it's up here. I got to go. Look at July 16th. That's coming up. That's this Monday. Oh. So if you happen to be in the area, drop in. Give me a call. I'd love to see you. And also, on Thursday, August 2nd, I'm going to be over at Paradise Valley from 7 to 8:15. There I'm going to be talking about intelligent life and other worlds. Yes. So come to that one if you are interested in coming at all. And for the caller who called in, I don't know what happened to you, but look at, sometimes you run out of time, see? That's part of the problem, right? But certainly consider calling again. I would love to hear from you. I'm sorry we had to be put on a hold until we got back. But nonetheless, consider this, that if you can maintain, if we all can maintain even a fraction of the time that we exist in this world by being in a controlled now or even an uncontrolled now, we will tremendously improve this world and ultimately our universe. And the experience that we will have is one of incredible joy. I've got to mention that. While one is in the now, the experience internally and afterwards is joy. The joy remains indefinitely. It never goes away because it's created in light. And so does that sensation in an extreme sense while we are in the now. If we can complete the now, if completing the now means that the creation is actually used by others, we will then experience that joy. And in addition, at the completion, if it truly works, we will experience bliss. is the final point of experience in this whole process. Joy, and then eventually bliss. Joy is sort of like little bits of bliss, and bliss is just like bliss. It's continuous. It's endless. It's amazing. So that's the subjective sensation of creating more of our Creator in the now. And for now, I'm going to say until next week, when I come back and talk about some other wildly esoteric subject, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.